Proverbs to chapter 24. I'm going to read those first few verses again, verses 1 to 10. And also, as last week, a reference in the New Testament scriptures which we'll read, and that is Colossians chapter 2 and the first 7 verses. So, reading first of all in Proverbs chapter 24 and then reading in Colossians chapter 2. Proverbs 24 and verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counsellors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool, he openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person, and through the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And then if you would turn to Colossians and to chapter 2, and reading from verse 1 to verse 7. And it's the Lord's Apostle Paul writing to the people there. For I would that ye should know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. Last week in our sermons in this book of Proverbs, we said that the life that we are called to live on the face of this earth of ours and on into eternity itself is set out before us on the pages of the Word of God under various figures and under various illustrations to our hearts and our minds. A few of those figures we cited at the commencement of our service for last week then, such as the taking of a journey, or the undertaking of a voyage, or the reaping of a harvest in accordance with the seed that we have sown in the course of our life. And then turning directly to these verses in Proverbs that we read from again this evening, the imagery of the building of a house, the setting up of a house in the way that we should, as far as our life, all the days of our life are concerned, both in this present world and then on into that eternal world that has no end. Now, the figure comes in verses 3 and 4 of the chapter, and as we said last time, within the verses, the three classical stages, as you might say, when it comes to the building of a house in which we are going to dwell. Stage 1 is the laying of the foundations, and it's that that's comprehended in the first few opening words of that verse 3. Through wisdom, it says, is an house build it. And there, of course, is talking about the whole of that work, all that ever goes into the right building of a house. And assuredly, when it comes to the right building of a house, then the first thing that has to be seen to by a man or a woman or a young person is the laying of the foundations of the house on which the house is going to be built all the days of our life, the foundation on which our life is going to be built all the days of our life. Stage two is the raising up of the superstructure of the house, so to speak, the walls and the doors and the windows and so on. And that comes before us in the second half of that verse three. Through wisdom is a house builded, it says, and by understanding it is established. It is built up. It is raised up, you see, on the foundations that have been laid. And then finally in verse four of the chapter, the third stage, which is the furnishing out of the house that has been built and established with all of those things that would adorn the house, fill out each of the rooms of the house, the chambers, as Solomon speaks about them there in that verse. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So it is our life, your life and my life, under the figure of the building of a house, the laying of the foundations for the house, the raising up of the superstructure of the house, the establishing of the house, the furnishing out of the rooms of the house, all of that which stands suggested to us in this part of the Word of God to our souls. Well then, in our time together for last week, it was something of the foundations of the house that we looked at, and not moving much further really, because I don't suppose you have to do that, than from those great words of our Saviour as he brought the Sermon on the Mount to a conclusion. Then he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And then he speaks about all the assaults that came upon that house, the rains and the storms and the floods. But he says the house did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. And the foundation, my friends, on which we build our life assuredly must be Jesus and his word. He is the rock on which the wise man built this house. It is through wisdom that a house is builded, that the foundations are laid, and he is the rock on which the foundations are laid indeed. On the other hand, he says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon a sand, and when the same elements rose and the winds blew and so forth, that house fell, and great was the fall of it, he says. And so very simply, when it comes to the laying of foundations for our lives in this world and on into the eternal world, then there is but one sure, lasting, everlasting foundation, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't we know it? There are rains and storms and floods that beat in upon us many's a time as we live in this present world of ours. But my friends, let me tell you this, there are still the risings of Jordan, the swellings of Jordan, the hour of death that ushers us into eternity. And indeed, if we have not a house established on Christ, built on the foundation of Christ for time, we certainly won't have it for eternity. And like that man who built his house upon the sand, when our life falls in that eternal day, great will be the fall of it if we are out of Christ without a Saviour. No other foundation, says the Bible, can man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And you see, as we said, the nice part, so many nice parts about that parable, but the nice part is this, that the rock was there all the time. All the man had to do was build on the foundation of the rock that was there all the time. He didn't create the rock. He didn't bring the rock into building, being. He simply looked on the rock and saw the rock to be the foundation. And on the rock, he built his house. And when all of the storms came, then his house fell not, says Christ, because it was built upon a rock. Through wisdom is a house builded. And when it comes to our life, then assuredly we are to build our life on Christ and on Christ alone. And our time together for this evening is to move on to something of the other parts, the other two stages in the issues of our lives under that figure. And remember, it's a figure, it's imagery, it's illustration of the building of a house. You remember what the other two stages were then? There was the raising up of the superstructure and then the furnishing out of the rooms. And when Solomon says there by the Holy Spirit of God that it is through wisdom that a house is builded, and it is by understanding that the house is established, surely that's a great word for talking then about the life that we have set in motion by God's grace in Jesus Christ the Savior. The foundation is laid, and now there comes the building up, the establishing of the life in the very one in whom we have put our life in trust for time and for eternity. And can I say this? There is no Christian life envisaged anywhere on the pages of the Word of God that only deals with a beginning and not with a continuation. There is no gospel whatsoever of that type anywhere on the pages of God's Word. And very simply, all I want us to do this evening is to take up a couple of those passages of the Word of God that put that fact before us, that once we come to profess Christ as our Savior, receive Christ as our Savior, then we go on to live through Christ as our Savior all our days. Well, the first passage, really the main passage perhaps in a sense, that one that we read from out of the Epistle to the Colossians. And you see how the Lord's Apostle is speaking there about people who have received Christ. If you like, they have laid the foundations of their life in Jesus Christ the Savior. And so he says in verse 6 of that chapter, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith." And how do we go on in the things of Christ? Well, of course, it is by Christ, and it is being rooted in Christ and built in Christ, but being rooted and built and established in the Christ that we have received for the salvation of our souls forevermore. You see, it's a great word, is it not? The emphasis to a large extent tonight must be on the grace of God and the gospel. And when the Lord's Apostle speaks about those people or any person in the salvation of our soul receiving Christ, my friends, that is something that, first of all, is to settle our souls, establish our souls in the life that we are called to live, and it is also something that is to raise up thankfulness in our hearts and in our minds all our days. That word "received," same kind of word that the apostle uses in another place when he writes to the Corinthians. And he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." What they had received in Christ was none other than God's word for the salvation of sinners in Jesus Christ the Lord. And they hadn't only received a body of truth in that sense, they had received Christ himself. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up and established in him." And when he speaks about Christ in the way that he does, in the arrangement of the words, he says he is Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ is the appointed, the anointed of God, the one whom God promised to send, the one who came in all our humanity in that human name, Jesus, the name by which we are saved. We have received him as the Christ, the anointed, the one who came, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, but we have received him as the Lord of glory forever and forevermore. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And my friends, as we begin, as we commence in the life of faith, so we continue in the life of faith all our days. You see, there were those in and around Colossae, and they were saying, well, you move on. All right, you receive Christ to begin your salvation, but there's another way by which you continue your salvation. Lay the foundations of your life. But when it comes to building the house, here's another blueprint for you. Here's another way to do that. And it's that very thing that Paul is attacking with all his heart and soul. It is the Christ that you have received. That is the Christ in whom you continue and go on all the days of your life. And of course, isn't it a word that points us up to the grace of God indeed, causing us to be thankful? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see, always when you read this, that we have received from the Lord, then we have received from the Lord. And we have received from the Lord that which the Lord has given in his grace and mercy towards us. And that thought is to engender thanksgiving in our life, because if ever we will go on as we ought to do in the life of faith, we will do it constantly with a spirit of thanksgiving to our souls. As he writes to another church, what hast thou, he says, that thou didst not receive? Freely, fully, in the grace of God, Christ has been received. This one thing I would learn of you, he says to the Galatians. They were another group of people who were being enticed into starting in Christ, but going on in some other way. This one thing I would learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? No. You received your salvation in one way to start with. You go on in your salvation in the same way all the days of our life. So, when it comes to building on Christ, it is Christ on whom we build indeed. It is through Christ and by Christ and in Christ that we continue all the days of our life. And so those words, you see, that follow on from that are building words. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We continue as we commenced in Jesus Christ the Saviour. Now, there is one word, you see, that dominates there. And it's this one word, really, that I want us to think about for a little tonight. The great word of the passage is the word walk. And it's a tremendous word. It's a comprehensive word when it comes to explaining going on in the things of Christ the Saviour. And so he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Let's just stay with that for a little time, because, as I say, it is one of the great words of the Word of God when it comes to the ongoing life of faith. Walk in the Bible simply means how we live and how we think and how we walk in the life that the Lord has given us to live. And wherever you look, Old Testament, New Testament alike, then that word is set before us with regards to how we should go on and be established in the things of the faith as it is in Christ Jesus the Saviour. And you get many, many linking ups between the old and the new, which you should never disregard. Always try and see where there are those lovely linkages between the old and the new, because it is one Bible that the Lord has given for us, for our strengthening and for our establishing. Now, for example, in the end of the chapter 1 of the epistle to the Colossians, the Lord's apostle tells them or reminds them how they have been preaching Christ. Now, the Christ of the Bible, the one who has brought the reconciliation, the one who through the blood of the cross, God has made peace with them that believe. And so in verse 28 of that chapter 1, he says, whom we preach. This Christ is whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, you have to get Christ, this Christ that we preach, in order to go on into spiritual maturity, because that's what the word perfect really stands for. There are times when it means those perfections that will come in the last and eternal days. There are times when it's pointing us up to that maturity that we're to have in the Christian life. So he says, we're preaching Christ to you so that we might present every man, if you like, mature in Jesus Christ the Savior. There's a lovely Old Testament reference that points us right up to that very fact. It comes in the book of Genesis when the Lord has re-established his covenant with Abraham. And it says, when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, be thou mature. Now, you see what it's saying. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord said, Abraham, walk before me and be mature. You wouldn't have thought they would have come much more mature than Abraham. But my friends, if ever of us ever think we have arrived with regards to anything in our spirituality, we're gravely mistaken. And all the days of our life, we are to follow on in the way that the Lord has set before us. And indeed, we are to walk before the Lord, and we are to be mature. And so Abraham, in that old age, you see, was to walk before the Lord and be perfect, walk before the Lord and be mature. And of course, as I've said, it's simply the whole of the way of life that he is to continue in for the remainder of the days of his life that he is still to live. How are we to walk? How are we to conduct ourselves, behave ourselves, be established, be built up on the foundation that has been laid in Christ? Well, again, just to link up the old and the new, if you remember in the first chapter of the Colossians as well, Paul utters a prayer, or at least he tells the Colossians about prayers that him and Timothy have been offering up on their behalf. And in that, he tells them what he has been praying for, or what they have been praying for, and why it is that they have been praying for that thing that they have been praying for. In verse 9 of chapter 1, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's what we're praying for, he says, that you might be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and this is why, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good works, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, he says, we're praying for you. Here's what we're praying for on your behalf, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that ye might walk worthy of his name. Where were they to get that wisdom and spiritual understanding from? Where do any of us get spiritual wisdom and understanding from, my friends? We get it from the word of the living God. And it is the word of the living God that tells us how we walk. And it is through learning more and more and more the word of the living God, it is then that we learn to walk in the way that we are to walk before the Lord our God. You see, the Bible knows nothing of man-made notions when it comes to the things that we are to do and are called to do. And out of the word of God, then, it is the word of God that tells us how we are to walk. Now that, with regards to the promises of the word of God and the precepts of the word of God. My friend, if you, by the grace of God, have come to salvation, the way that you go on in your salvation is by the word of the living God. And as I say, promise and precept whatever the case might be. And there's a lovely illustration again in Abraham with regards to walking in the promises, enjoying the promises of the Lord. That well-known time, I'm sure to most of us, when Abraham came back from the land of Egypt, down to which he had gone in the time of famine. And we're told about that controversy that arose between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. And that gracious behavior of Abraham when he says, look, let there be no strife between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. Don't you know that the Gentiles are still in the land? This should not be between those who name the name of Jehovah as our Lord. And so Abraham makes that gracious offer to Lot. You lift up your eyes. You see whatever you want to choose and choose it. When Abraham did that, my friends, Abraham was looking to God to choose his lot for him. And God did that very thing. And in the light of that, then, God spoke to Abraham. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, unto thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abraham did that very thing. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Don't you see him, my friends? Says the Lord, look, here is my promise. And he is establishing again that great covenant promise for those days in which the Lord directed his people. Walk through the land, he says, in the length of it and the breadth of it, for this I give unto you. And if you can picture dear old Abraham, my friends, going over the mountains and down by the streams and all the fields, this is mine, he says, because God has said it is mine. And he takes the word of promise that God has given to him, and he stands upon that promise and walks in the light of that promise. And surely that's how we go on in the life of faith. Surely that's how we raise up the superstructure of the house that has been built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ our Savior. Doesn't Peter tell us that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises? How do you employ the promises of God? By faith. By faith. There's no other way. They're not automatic things in that sense. They are employed and they are enjoyed by faith. And if you take the ultimate promise, and the ultimate promise is this, it is eternal life, and it is that which will come to us in the day of the resurrection. And you can see how that ultimate promise worked in the soul of the Lord's Apostle Paul in many, many ways. But one particular place where he takes in, if you like, the house kind of imagery. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Now, we haven't come to that yet, he says, but at the same time, we have the earnest of the Spirit. And therefore, he says, because we have the promise, the earnest of the Spirit, then he says, we are always confident, knowing which while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God tells me that I have a house eternal in the heavens, one not made with hands. That house in which his soul shall dwell, once his body, the old tent, has been raised from the ground, and that house will be eternal in heaven, in the house of God in heaven, forever and forevermore. Now we are walking by faith. Now we have faith in the promises. Then will come the fulfillment of the promises. But my friends, we're to treat the promises the same way, that assuredly they are going to be fulfilled, and therefore we are to have faith in the promises. The word of God is given to us for the establishing of our life of faith. Do we believe that? Do we employ that? Do we enjoy that all the days of our life? You know the well-known words of Isaiah the prophet, and somebody gave me a nice wee card with an eagle flying up from it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. You see, walking in the promises, being established in our life on the promises of God. Or David, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, he says, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul to thee. And those words are endless, as our Lord tells those people in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, following Christ, going on with Christ. That was the Feast of the Tabernacles, when they remembered how their fathers had been guided through the wilderness by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now says Christ, I am the light. I am the light of the world. That's when he spoke those words, as they remembered that great event in the history of the nation long ago. He says, I'm the fulfillment of that. I am the light. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness. My friend, are you walking by Christ in the light, or are you in your darkness? And my friend, at the very beginning, you come into life and faith through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. Whichever way you want to look at your life, in laying the foundations of your life, no other foundation. Old Samuel Rutherford said, the gospel is a very fine hair that will not split asunder. And he's saying that in all the fullness of the ministry of Christ. And when our Savior says, I am the light, he means there is no other light by which we can walk through this world and into eternity at last. Just as he says, I am the door, and I am the way, and I am the good shepherd. There aren't many things, many saviors. There is one Savior, and there is one by whom we walk. And we take the promises, you see, and all the promises of the Word of God. Person will never be established in the faith as it is in Christ, apart from the Word that he has given to us, whereby we are to walk, go on, be established, be rooted, be grounded all the days of our life. Let me say this. Not only the promises, of course, but the precepts, the directives, the commandments as well. You know, you can buy in the shops, the Christian bookshops, not only Christian books, but what would normally be referred to as holy haberdashery. You know, the kind of thing. Well, one of the things you can buy is a promise box. Everyone's a winner. I don't know. I think it would be good to have some commandment boxes as well and some precept boxes. I don't know if they would sell so well. But there are promises that we live by and walk by. There are precepts that we live by and walk by. And again, we are to walk by faith in the promises and in accordance with the precepts. And again, if you want a lovely Old Testament illustration of that, you get one in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah has just been confronted by the remnant of a Jewish army, an Israelite army, which has just suffered a terrible defeat. And the captains of that army come before the Lord's servant Jeremiah, and they want him to pray for them. But it's interesting what they ask Jeremiah to pray for on their behalf. And here's what they say. And they said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplications be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. You see, Jeremiah, they said, make this petition to the Lord for us, that the Lord will show us the way wherein we are to walk. And you see, that's in total contrast, my friend, to what that nation was like before, when they walked, as it says earlier on in Jeremiah, in the imaginations of their own heart. And as they walked in the imaginations of their own heart, so indeed they stood that day as they did stand before Jeremiah. And now you see that total contrast between the old and the new, where they asked for the Lord's precepts, that they may know the way in which the Lord would have them to walk. So it's a great word, comprehensive word, a word that, as I say, comes before us over and over and over again. We are to walk in newness of life, it says in one place, are we not? In baptism, we are buried with Christ in the likeness of his death. We are raised with Christ in the likeness of his resurrection, in order that we may walk in newness of life. We are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, says Paul to the Ephesians. We are to walk in the light, as Christ is in the light. We are to walk in truth, as ye have received a commandment from the Father. We are to walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the darkness of their mind. Constantly we're told how we are to walk. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. And oh, my friend, to build upon the foundation that is in Christ Jesus the Lord, there can be no greater blessing, but it doesn't end there. And we are to go on all the days of our life, if you like, raising up the superstructure of the house that has been built upon the foundations in Christ, being established in the things of the Lord, through wisdom as an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And as Paul writes to those Colossians in the New Testament, it's that self-same thing, really, that he's speaking about. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now the time's moving on. Let me just refer you then to one other great establishing kind of word as it comes to, when it comes to our life, built upon Christ and then built up in Christ all the days that the Lord gives to us. Now it's found in the last chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews and in verse 9. And it's simply another one of those cross-references kind of words. In verse 8, of course, the Lord's apostle gives us that great word concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And then he says in verse 9, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. It is a good thing that the heart be established by grace. You have laid the foundations of your life in Christ. Now, when it comes to the building up of your life, it is to be built up in the grace that is in Christ Jesus the Savior, the same yesterday and today and forever. And my friends, when it comes to the ongoing life of faith for any of us, whether we've been in the life of faith for many years or in the life of faith only for a short period of time, this is the kind of word that determines how we go on establishing the house of our life in Christ the Lord. There's a negative side, of course, and you can't have positives, really, without negatives. And the Lord's apostle says there, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. That's one sure way to see your house collapse in that sense. And when he speaks about diverse doctrines and so on, it means varicolored, all kinds of colors, all the colors of the rainbow, as we would say today. And surely, in the days when Paul was, there were all the colors of the rainbow when it came to theological opinion. And in these days in which we live, assuredly, that is the case. Just as the Colossians, you remember, there were those that were coming in, and they were coming in with diverse and strange doctrines. So all the time, diverse, strange doctrines, don't be carried about with any of those things. Strange doctrines mean alien doctrines. It's a good word, really, when you take the whole body of God's truth. Doctrines and teachings that are alien to the truth, as it is in Christ Jesus the Savior. Doctrines that have no place in the family of the truth of God in the gospel. Doctrines that are foreigners to the commonwealth of the gospel as it has been given in Jesus Christ the Savior. My friends, there are many diverse and strange doctrines, and we are to turn away from any of those things. And if you just want a broad description of them, it is anything that is alien in contrast to the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel that has saved your soul at the beginning is the gospel that you lean upon all your days until you come to the fullness of that salvation at last. Nothing is added to it. Nothing is to be subtracted from it. The Savior, you see, is the same yesterday, today, forever. The salvation is the same yesterday, today, forever. I get sick of this nonsense about modern man and approaching modern man and accommodating the truth to modern man. That's the devil. The devil. And there is one gospel from the beginning to the end, and it is the doctrine and the truth of the grace of God in that gospel. And anything other than that is diverse and strange, alien, a foreigner, no place in the family of the body of truth that God has given to us. The particular example that Paul uses there, of course, is the old dietary laws of the nation of Israel. You remember that these Hebrew Christians, many others, they had been reared up in the Hebrew religion. Now they had come to believe. In the old Hebrew religion, there were dietary laws. There were things that they were not to eat, things that they were not to touch. You get noble examples of it. When the children of Israel were taken into captivity in Babylon, and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego refused to eat the food that the king was spreading on the table, that was a noble use of the old laws. In the Old Testament days, God has said, this is how you will be distinguished as my people. There are things that you won't touch. And in that strange land of Babylon, they were standing firm and showing themselves to be the people of the Lord. In a strange and alien land they might be, but they would show themselves to be those who belong to the Lord. Noble uses of those old laws. But of course they were types and shadows of what was to come in Jesus Christ the Savior. And the danger was that there were those there in the situation into which the Hebrew epistle is written that were lapsing back into the meats as being necessary. And he says, no, meats don't do anything. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And for us, simply look at it like this, grace and meats Grace is the gospel. The gospel of our soul's salvation meets us anything that a person would rely on or turn to or depend upon in addition to the gospel. And so he gives that encouraging word, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. What establishes the heart? What raises up the superstructure of the house? What makes the walls strong and the roof watertight and so on, to use the imagery? My friends, it is the grace of God in the gospel of his beloved Son. And to be bound hand and foot in thankfulness to the gospel of God's grace. In the midst of gloom, when things sometimes aren't going the way that we think they should go, how do you establish the heart? With meats? With anything? No. With the grace of God. You remember Paul and that famous incident in the life of Paul and that thorn in the flesh? He felt that it was irksome. He didn't like it. He didn't want it. And he prayed that God would remove it. And God didn't. But in not removing the thorn, he said, I'll give you something else. I'll give you my grace. My grace will be sufficient for you. And in the midst of that gloom, if you like, in the life of the Lord's apostle, he was able to stand on the grace of God. It was the grace of God that established his heart at that time. When you get the stirrings of self-righteousness in your soul, and you think, oh, well, maybe I'm pressing on in my own strength, and I'm looking at myself, and I'm not so bad. That's an easy thing to do when you look at yourself in relation to others, but that doesn't do much good. And at those times, my friends, you call to mind a text like this, I am what I am by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? And that will soon level any spirit of self-righteousness in our soul. In the wake of sin, when we commit sin, can't we turn and say, as sin reigned unto death, grace reigns unto righteousness. And in case we should think that we can go on carelessly in regard to that fact, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And all you do is search the Word of God from beginning to end, and you realize that it is a good thing, a great thing, the most blessed of all things, that the heart be established with grace, with the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that we establish the house, build up the house, raise up the superstructure of the house. How are we saved in the first place? We are saved by grace. By grace are you saved. Not by works, by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. How are we forgiven? Well, we are forgiven in that redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How are we justified? We are justified freely, Paul tells the Romans, by grace. How do we stand? We stand by grace in Jesus Christ the Saviour. How are we elect? We are elect according to the grace of God. How are we called? But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And if ever we'll go on in the Christian life, we go on in the Christian life as we commenced it by the grace of God. We continue it by the grace of God. We will complete it by the grace of God, because of all the consolations and the hopes that come to us through the grace of God in the gospel. My friend, go on and build up the house and establish the walls and do all of those things, but do it in the way that the Bible tells us to do it. You see, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, not in any other way. Being rooted and grounded and established and built up in him. It is a good thing that the heart be established, not with anything other than by the grace of God alone. Meats don't profit, says the apostle. Don't you know that those meats haven't profited anything? The only thing that profits the soul in time and on into eternity is the gospel of the grace of God, that in which we begun, that in which we are to go on all our days. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And as the Lord has given us, if the Lord indeed has given us, to be built upon the foundation of Christ our Saviour, then in Christ our Saviour we raise up the house, we are established all our days, and brought to eternity at last. Amen. May the Lord bless his words to our souls.